Now, Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and think through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, I was not going to be preaching on Luke because I wanted to avoid the shrewd manager at all cost. So I'm going to be talking about Jeremiah. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Who's speaking? Jeremiah or God? How bad does it have to be to make God's heart sick? You really have to disappoint. It's difficult to decide who's speaking, but both voices seem to be present. In the end, it doesn't really matter. Jeremiah's sadness is so intertwined with God's sadness. As the spokesman for God, he reflects this sadness. Neither prophet or God relishes judgment or its consequences. As I was writing the sermon this week, I found that the spiritual hymn, "There Is a Balm in Gilead," echoing in my mind. It's a powerful reminder that how Scripture can do more than instruct us, sustain us, and empower us. Scripture can come alive to uplift us. But our Scripture states that there is no balm in Gilead, no physician. So what disease has befallen the Israelites? I think at the root of the illness is the people's sense of entitlement. Their self-importance, their confidence in the nation state. You can hear the people's false expectation in verse 19. Hark, the cry of my poor people. From far and wide in the land, is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? They seem to expect the Lord to be waiting at their beck and call. They have a temple. Why isn't he in it where he belongs? He's our God. He should be there. Like a genie in a bottle waiting to grant their next wish. The people did nothing to strengthen their relationship to God or their fellow man. Instead, they provoked God to anger with their images and their foreign idols. It's almost as if they're hedging their bets just in case. Well, we can't depend on God to give us what we want. Maybe we should try other gods and idols just in case. Even the religious feast of the harvest seems to become a magical idol in itself. We're not so different from the Israelites worshiping wooden idols. Jeremiah makes us look at the idolatry in our own lives. So many of us are obsessed with political news, professional sports, consumer goods. I sometimes think that I'm obsessed with technology. My wife and I were out eating at a restaurant, and there was a beautiful young couple sitting there. Obviously, they were on a date. I noticed that both of them were looking at their smartphones instead of each other. Now, maybe it was a first date not going well, but maybe their smartphones had become an idol for them. The illness that plagued the Israelites was a disease of spirit, the psyche, the soul, the will. But it was much bigger than individual suffering. It was a community suffering as a whole. Jeremiah knows what's coming, and you can hear how desperate he's becoming. He tells the people that Gilead, a place of so much riches, the most fertile land in Israel, cannot offer the people healing and salvation. Perhaps Jeremiah thinks that Israel has come to a point of no return. when Jeremiah says, "For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me." This is a lament, and it's also an intercession. He's not some politician saying, "I feel your pain." He really does. Let me give you an example. Yesterday we had curbside prayer, and we will be bringing the prayers of the people that came to us, and we'll be offering them up during the presentation. But one of the requests was a young woman who is so lost and troubled. Those prayers were offered by her sister, who was so deeply moved she was weeping. Her lamentation was truly an intercession for God to save her loved one. What would Jeremiah say about our nation and our world? With its religious conflicts, poverty, inequality of income and discrimination, large-scale conflicts and wars, climate change, destruction of nature. Would Jeremiah think that we've gone to the point of no return? Jeremiah still tries to shake us out of our complacency. But here's the good news. There truly is a bomb in Gilead, but it requires action. All of the problems today that I've listed can be cured by speaking to truth and action. We can learn from the Israelites. All we need is strengthen our relationship to God and our fellow man. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Amen.